gate with a box of tracts just out there passing out tracts. He said he stood back and he just thought, wow. You know, he couldn't do that. I mean, it maybe he could for that day. But they did that. They didn't realize that, you know, we're going to get thrown out. And of course, they were going home a couple days later, so it was no problem. But there's times that we had to move on, and that's kind of what's happening here. They move on. And though it says there in verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did the baptizing there. Verse 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So there's this journey, and what we know, there's a lot of things in the Bible we don't know, right? And sometimes we like to think about those more often. It's okay to think, it's okay to get off the bus a little bit and look around, right? But we start from what we know. And we do know this, that the Lord was weary. Yes. He was weary. It was a journey. He was wearied from the journey and with the journey. So he went, and there's a well, and he sat down on the well, and we're going to see in just a minute, a little bit. He was thirsty, wanted a drink. But also, it was time for food, needed food. And so we find then that we're going to find in just a moment, he sends the apostles. Look at verse 7, though. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So we find then the situation. The Lord is there. The apostles were sent to go get some food. Meat means food, doesn't necessarily mean a chunk of beef, just food. Could be bread, whatever. Anyway, some food. And so he's sitting there, and they're already gone, so he asks the woman to give him drink. So he was weary, and he wanted those things. And so that's where we kind of find. So now we see this picture. The apostles, the disciples, they're gone. Jesus is there, and with the woman, and we know the story, the woman at the well. Anybody ever heard this one before? Yeah. Okay, if you didn't, I'm going to allude to some of it, but read it later to get the whole context of that for yourself. But it's not the part of it, but I want us to look at a little bit about the disciples with this morning. We find, look at verse 27. So, and let me just set up slightly. The Lord, of course, with the woman at the well, he begins telling her about the water, right? The everlasting water that springs up into everlasting life. He's talking to her about worshiping God, right? He that worship God desires worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth, right? And so he begins to deal with these things with this woman, and the light comes on for her is what happens. The illumination of understanding of what, and she said, and I love this part, and he's telling her this, and the woman says, verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Yes, he said, I kind of get this idea. She's saying, what you're saying sounds pretty good, but I'm really waiting for the Messiah to come to really make it real clear. Because he talked about how to worship back there in verse 21. And she was saying, she said, you know, we worship in the mountain. You worship in this place. And he said, the Lord's dealing with. And she said, but the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to straighten it all out for us so we can. And you know, she's been talking with him. And he says there in verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Amen.
Wow, there's a difference between somebody that's looking for the gospel and somebody that's looking how to get out of the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? Oh,
yeah.
That want the truth, right, and somebody that's given an excuse why they don't. And by the way, we don't always understand that. The Lord knows the heart. We don't always, and we see that. And so upon this, verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? So the apostles did not have the benefit of what we have, knowing the story. They didn't hear this conversation. They don't know what we give the apostles a lot of grief, and they need it. I mean, you know. And by the way, they really weren't that great while they were walking with Jesus. They were just folks like you and I trying to, and they had so much. They were. Wow, so much less than what we have. They had no idea. They're going, they think, okay, the Lord's going to come and set up his kingdom, and we're going to take over the world again, right? And it was nothing like that. It was nothing like that. And the Lord, no, and he's trying to tell them, and they're going, and they're seeing something, and they're thinking, yeah, how many swords do we need, you know? And the Lord, no, this isn't what we're doing. You know, let them smite the other cheek. Could you just see the apostle? Did he? I didn't hear that. But did he? What? Yeah, can you just see? That was confusing for them.
Yep.
I'm glad it was them, and we get to read about it, and we get to sit back and say, they just didn't get it, bless God, you know, right? And they didn't until after the ascension, and then it was, oh, when the Spirit of God came in, and then now we get to join from there.
Amen.
So what a, I'm thankful. We live in a great time.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You look around and say, well, it doesn't seem like it. It is. And so, at least with our relationship and empowerment from the Lord. So they come back and they see the Lord over there talking with a woman. Now that's for us it may not seem, but there was, in that day, there was laws that, particularly for the Jewish priests and those religious teachers, they didn't talk to women in public. It was not something that it would be really against their man-made law to do that. And so there was an issue. They looked over and said, but nobody asked, what are you seeking from her? Or what are you doing? And nobody asked, why are you talking? They just said, you know what? We're just going to leave that one alone.
Yeah.
Right? There was some wisdom there. And so then they go on, and the woman then left her water pot, we're in verse 28, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So, again, the Lord was wearied from his journey. He had sent the apostles. I imagine he sent them, or whether they said, Lord, you stay, we'll go. And either way, it was an agreed understanding. They're going to go get food. He's sitting there. We never even hear about him getting the drink. I don't know if he did or not. He's wearied. And they come back with the food to the wearied Lord, and he doesn't take it right away. And so they begin to pray him. Lord, Master, would you take some food? Would you eat? By the way, that's so normal of what we should do. Preacher, you've been working? Come on, why don't you get a bite to eat? Right? I know y'all probably do that a lot, right? Amen? You would. I'm sure you would if you've seen. He's going. He's like, Preacher, why don't you sit down and have some food? You know, I know you're tired. You've been going, and it's time. That'd be the normal thing we would all do, right? They weren't odd in this, and then the Lord's response is one that's really, we like this verse, and we use this, I use it a lot, it just kind of referring to some different things, but he says this, in verse 32, but he said unto them, the Lord, his reply to them is this, I have meat to eat that you know not of.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Now we've heard it preached so much that we've got some idea, but they're there. They brought this grub back, right? Probably some barbecued ribs.
Amen.
No, it wasn't barbecue ribs. They were Jews. They wasn't. But probably some bread and fish,
yeah.
Right? And so they're there, and the Lord, they say, Lord, why don't you know, Master, eat. And the Lord says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Right? You follow me?
Amen.
Can you see where the apostles are in this? They're thinking, he's lost his mind again. The Lord says a lot of things that if we don't understand, we're thinking, I have no idea what he's talking about. We are just gone with it. And so we know this is their idea, because it says there in verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? So, I'm guilty of giving the apostles a hard time. I am. But here, I think it's fair to say they weren't just carnal necessarily. I mean, they were in a lot of places. They were thinking the physical, and the Lord was trying to teach the spiritual. That's what he's dealing with so much. But he said, they're looking and said, how does he have meat to eat that we don't know of? Did somebody slip him a burger? I mean, you know, did he stop at McDonald's? What's going on here? You understand? He's a bit. They're confused, rightfully so, and they have no idea. But here's what the Lord is saying. When he says, "I have meat to eat that you know not of," it's really simply this: you don't know about it yet. I've got something that you don't know about yet. You're ignorant of it. Not that you're carnal and worldly and, you know, you're just going off in sin and you're rejecting things. No, these guys are following the Lord, trying to figure what's going on all the time. A lot of time I say a good lesson for us would be quit trying to figure out what God's doing and just follow him.
Amen,
right? Easier said than done.
Amen.
It's good preaching, hard living, right? And for all of us, right? And so, but the Lord was about to do something with them. There's any time, if you have one of these Bibles that has red letters in them, anytime you see red letters, it's just a particular lesson to the apostles and for us. Now, of course, all of it is, but that's specifically, if the Lord is opening his mouth, there's a lesson to be taught to us.
Amen.
Every time. The Lord never wasted words. I mean, I'm sure there's other things that they sat around and chatted, I guess. Just not written. We didn't need that. But everything we find in here, if he's speaking, he's trying to teach us something. Not just them. Of course, them, and we get to be beneficiaries of not having to feel confused and, right? We get to read through it and think about it. And so the Lord said, there's something that you don't know about. Not kind of the way of, I know something you don't know. you don't know. That's not how the Lord ever deals with. But he does bring things up, and every time the Lord asks a question, it never does it mean he needs an answer, because he knows the answer.
Right.
But he brings a question up to make us consider. And so the Lord said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. The apostles are there saying, who brought him to bring him something? And the Lord says, verse 34, he begins to deal with this. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, hey listen, my meat, you know that meat that you don't know about? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You've probably read that many, many, many times. And as I studied through this chapter, I come to realize how profound this really is for the Lord and what he's trying to get across. So he comes up, he sits on the well, and this woman comes up and he begins to use what's there to teach her. He said, there's this water that you drink this water, you're going to thirst again. He said, but the water that I give you, if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah.
So what he was talking about with this water, by the way, he's not talking about magic water.
No, that's right.
There's no magic water. He's using it as an illustration.
Yep.
Right? And the Lord constantly used physical illustrations throughout the Gospels. We find this constantly. And so he's using the water. He said, this woman came to the well to get water because she needed it.
Yep.
Right? There wasn't no, you know, running water at the house. Right?
Right.
You understand? So she needed this water. Needed it for existence, maybe cooking, cleaning, everything that was needed there. So she needed the water, and it was a requirement to satisfy this need in her life. So the Lord uses this. He said, now, that water, you're going to need it again and again and again. You're going to need that. You drink that, you're going to thirst again. He said, but the water that I give you, if you drink of that water, you will never thirst again.
Right.
This is talking about eternal life. Matter of fact, he said it's going to spring up into everlasting life. And by the way, that's a one time.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's one time.
Yes, sir.
And he says it, that you'll never thirst again. Of course, he's not talking about, you know, I love what he says. Sir, give me that water. I want that I'll never have to thirst again. Of course, it's the same way when we share the gospel, people get mixed up between spiritual and carnal, you know, and the physical. And okay, well, it doesn't, listen, he begins to deal with after that. It's kind of alluded to already, the thing of worship and spirit and truth. But he uses what is there to teach a lesson, to try to get across this truth of, if you get this water, it'll satisfy this thing in your life. Listen, this woman came in the middle of the day. That's not the time you would normally come for water. Sun, and by herself. Obviously, we know she's in shame. She's working on her seventh husband. Well, she had five, and the fellow that was with her wasn't her husband now. And so, you know, so she's probably some shame and sin and things going on in her life. And so the Lord dealt with her, and he said, listen, you're longing for something. The thing that you're longing for, I have. Amen. By the way, not for Jesus wasn't that he has, but he is.
Yep.
He is. Yep. So then there was that deal, and she went back, and I think she might have got it. Amen. She went back and said to the men in the city, hey, come see a man that told me all I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Come and see.
Yep.
Amen. That's, by the way, that's what happens when you get saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I don't want to be dogmatic on this, because I'm not, but it's not what sometimes happens. It is what happens.
Right.
You get saved,
yes,
and you get the miracle,
yep,
of everlasting life.
Right.
If you can just say, well, I don't want to tell anybody else about it, it ain't that everlasting life. It ain't that water. It's something else. It may be some... Listen, he said there's a... how's he say it? Let me read it here. Verse 14, he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. See, talking about something that's satisfied. Never thirsts again. You'll never need that again.
Amen.
I hear people talk about, I'm thankful, and I know I'm different than a lot of believers. When I got saved, I've never doubted my salvation. I never had to deal with that. I've heard a lot of people, especially those who grew up in church, different things. I'm so thankful that, you know, and some that deal with it, and I was so glad to hear the testimony, the missionary yesterday. And so when I got saved, changed my life.
Yes, sir.
Never had to worry about that. I thought, wow, I bet that was so liberating when you're worried about it.
Amen.
And so this is what he said. It quenches a thirst that you'll never thirst again. Listen, if you still doubt, by the way, I think some people maybe doubt their salvation. It's not that they're not saved, they're just being entangled by the devil. You understand? So they, you know what? If I wasn't sure, I wouldn't care about telling everybody else. I'd be caring about still getting myself saved.
Right?
Right? And I know people every day, every week, still worried about it. And I've talked to folks, and again, you're here for salvation. Either believe God or you haven't. So, but what he's getting at is, you'll never, if you drink the water that I give, you'll never thirst. You'll be satisfied for good. He said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, what that means is there is a pool in our life that's now there that springs up.
Amen. Yep.
And when it springs up, it gets all over other folks.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now, here's what will happen in our life sometimes. This doesn't mean we lose it. Doesn't mean we thirst again. But sometimes our water sits still so long, becomes stagnant. Mm-hmm. Right? And you know, stagnant water stinks. Some believers get stinky. Is that all right to say? All right. You know what? It doesn't mean, I mean, literally like that, but it means they get sour. Look like they've been sucking on lemons. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
looks like they're sour. And
right.
It's, what a sad thing to live with the Lord Spirit of God in our midst, indwelling us, and we run around sour.
Yes, sir.
See, now that's not the Lord's plan, and that's not how it has to be. We have to kind of like suppress that spring that wants. It wants the spring. So listen, when we get that water, we want to tell people we have to actually suppress it. And by saying, you know, I'm too scared to tell somebody. Anyway, I don't want to belabor that too, because that's not the message, but that's there we see. Now, he dealt with that. Now we get to this place, he's with the apostles. And they bring bread back, the meat back, whatever the food was. And so now the Lord is going to use that as the object lesson. And so they come back and say, Lord, eat. And by the way, I'm not saying the Lord's saying he wasn't hungry. Maybe he was. I don't know. Again, I don't want to put in there what I don't really know. But I've gone soul winning for sometimes for hours, and we come back. I'm just saying we go eat, right? So I'm not saying it's. I mean, we're Baptists, and we get together. Whatever we do, we're eating. That's just how it goes. That's how I rate Baptist churches, by how they their food. Anyhow, so when the Lord. What the Lord was doing, though, wasn't really about meat. It's using this for an object lesson. And I think he did withhold the meat to try to teach this. And he's saying, I have meat to eat that's known. And they said, well, and he says, I'm going to tell you about this. This meat, by the way, you know what meat is? Just like the water satisfies.
Yes, sir.
But it's a one, he said, this thing, the Lord said this, he said, I, in verse 32, I have meat. He said, I've already got this meat. It's with me now. I've already consumed it. I'm consuming it. It is now it is, watch this, it is satisfying me.
Amen. That's good.
This is the way food works. By the way, let me just say this. And I'm sure Brother Hall could tell us, every country in the world, their festivities, their times, all around food.
Yes, sir.
Everywhere in the world, when there's something, it's around food.
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing in Sri Lanka, if they have any event, food. If they're having a fasting, food afterwards. I mean, it's just, I mean, the Muslims, after they have their food and then their fasting, as soon as they're done, they have a iftar party, right?
Yep.
And so they have food. I mean, everybody, everywhere, food is how we fellowship around, we do this. And by the way, that's not different. Now Baptists have taken it up a notch, I understand, right? But so he's using this thing to help us to understand food is first of all, it's satisfying, right?
Yep.
If you don't have it too long, your belly starts talking to your backbone and say what's going on, and right, and letting you know, telling your brain, do something,
right?
Right? So it's satisfying. Some of us never want to get to that pain. Anyway, so, but not only is it satisfying, it's pleasant. People don't get like this unless they enjoy the food. Am I right? We enjoy eating.
Amen.
It's amazing. You know, you don't think about it. You know, we're in Sri Lanka and the things there. We have a supermarket about the size of this building. That's our supermarket. You know, and we're thankful because before that it was the size of just the platform. So, you know, you're thinking. So they get started getting some things in. You're excited about what you have there in this supermarket. And then we come back to the U.S. and you walk into Super Walmart. I mean, it's just like, it's not like the first time we ever seen it, but when you're gone for a couple of years and you come back, you're like, wow, I forgot how much food we have here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in Sri Lanka, we have a jar of peanut butter about this size will cost you about $6. That's the only choice. You come to Walmart, it's like a section.
Yeah.
Of peanut butter, and you just want to sit there and look at it a while, because I like peanut butter. And so you just, you know, I mean, it's just, you know what I'm saying? By the way, the reason we have food, because we enjoy it.
Yeah.
It brings us pleasure, and that's why we, by the way, even in Sri Lanka today, there's an obesity problem. That's why it's a, by the way, I mean, what a problem they have. Because you say, well, aren't they poor? Well, yeah, but they eat a lot of rice, and they love eating too. Everywhere does. So I'm just saying all that to say this. This thing about the meat is not only does it satisfy, but it pleases us, and it brings us enjoyment. By the way, I'm not advocating gluttony, right? I'm not saying, but I'm just saying what we already know, whether we are acknowledging it or not. This is the thing. God's talking about these things, and he gets to this, and the Lord gives them how to be satisfied, how to be not only satisfied, almost sounds like, yeah, I've had enough, right? You know, you're like, I'm sad. It kind of gives me the idea, I've had enough. I'm satisfied. But there's another level that's past it. It's like, no, I've had enough. I'm satisfied. So, well, you know, we got some cheesecake now. Oh, okay. Now it's like, wow, now we're to the, right? It's better than, it's delighted. It's enjoyable. So what he deals with here is he says this in verse 34. My meat, right? That thing that brings me the daily, not the one thirst, but the daily satisfies, brings me pleasure. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You know what the Lord wanted to get across to these apostles and to us? What brings us enjoyment? I'm not talking about, well, you know, I feel like I've done my duty today. I'm not talking about that. I could mow the lawn at the church and get that. I could vacuum the carpet and feel like I've done my duty, and I feel good about yourself about that. And by the way, those are things that need to be done, so I'm not taking that away, but and maybe that is part of the will of God, but he's particularly talking about the will of God in this thing of reaching the world with the gospel. Do you know most believers will never share the gospel with another soul? They'll never look somebody eye to eye and tell them how to be saved. Most believers won't do that. Because it's, you know, because it's scary. Because by the way, it is scary. It is scary. There's rejection, all these kind of things. I understand that. But the Lord said this: my meat, my satisfaction, my pleasure. By the way, if it's His, it's also ours. Amen. I've heard a preacher say this, my pastor said this, and I've repeated it because I found it to be true. He said, if you ever get depressed, go soul winning.
Yes, sir.
He said, well, that's, so I'm going to go out there, knock on doors, and get turned down and discouraged? How is that going to help? Right? I mean, logically, it doesn't make sense, does it? Because, I mean, if you're a salesman and you're, like, on outbound calls, you live a life of depression. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just sales, and I've done some of that, so you just call and, like, no, oh, man, you know. And knocking doors, I'm just saying, few there be that find it.
Yep.
Right? So most doors aren't super excited that you're there telling them about Jesus. Right? Some, anyway, I'm just saying, so why does that work? And by the way, it's not just knocking doors. Soul winning isn't just knocking doors. It's going to your neighbor. It's going to somebody at the gas station. It's wherever it is. Your family. Sometimes you got a lot of soul winning right in your own home. And it's why does that, why when we know most people are going to reject, why would that help somebody that's depressed now? Because the Lord said this, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me.
Amen.
You know, I've had to realize in Sri Lanka, we, among the Buddhists and even the Muslims in Sri Lanka, their interest, their conversion rate among the Sinhalese Buddhist people is very, very, very low. In the whole country, in the whole nation of ministries that have been going on for 30 years, I personally know of maybe 2 to 3 dozen Sinhalese people in Sri Lanka that are saved. That's not like what I was hoping is I'd go and preach and a whole village would get saved. That's what I want. I want to go in a whole village, get saved, and they're Christian. I can move on next one. You know, I want, you know what I'm saying? I want to preach, and the whole world is just ready to get saved.
Amen.
But few there be that find it. So how do we stay encouraged when we don't see results like we would like? I've never met a pastor that's satisfied with the level of his ministry. I've never. It's like, well, you know, no, things are going great, but I'd like to see more saved. By the way, if he's not like that, something's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Right? And by the way, we ought to have that and keep pressing for a mark, right? And keep pressing because there's still a world that's on their way to hell.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so we have to. So maybe the Lord gave me this and showed me this because of my own situation, my own. But I found that if I could get excited about doing His will.
Yes, sir.
Not what happened,
right. Right.
But about doing His will. Amen. You know, the Lord had shared the gospel with this woman. She went off.
Yep.
And He said, I now have the meat from what's happened with this woman. And now here she is out there, right?
Yep.
She's out there sharing the gospel with others.
Amen.
Bringing them to Jesus. And by the way, we do find out in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman. So she was preaching to, I mean, sharing her testimony. Right? Right. And so, because of her and what she testified. And so listen, I'm just saying, if we can get the fact that and that what Jesus Himself said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me.
Yeah.
Wow. Folks, I'm telling you, if you share the gospel with people, most won't respond. It's not just you. It's like been from the beginning. And if all we're looking for is another notch in our belt, or what I can come back and what I can say, well, I've, then you can do all that and still not be satisfied.
Right.
The Lord said, my meat, my satisfaction, my delight is to do the will of Him that sent me. Of course, He finished on and said, and to finish His work. But that was only He could do that.
Yes, sir.
We can't finish. He'd already finished it. Praise the Lord.
Yep, yep.
He finished it.
Amen.
We're just continuing it. And so, listen, whether we're telling somebody next door or around the world, and people telling to a people, listen, I've had the opportunity of harvesting some low-lying fruit, right? I was at a church a couple weeks back and got to preach, and I preached one service to some little girl, 10-year-old girl, come and got saved.
Amen.
And the preacher said, man, bless God. I said, mister, you come all the way over here, you can see someone get saved. I said, preacher, you did all the work. I said, you did all the work. I just got to come and be a part of that thing. He said, no, brother. Listen, let me just read to you verse 35. Chapter 4, verse 35. He says, say not ye that there are 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest.
Yeah.
And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Watch this, verse 38. I sent you to reap, thereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labor.
Yep.
Wow. So sometimes we just get to enter in on other folks' labor. And that's all right. I can remember the first time someone led somebody to the Lord. A missionary came in our church. I was pastoring and came and led some of the Lord we've been working on for months.
Amen.
And I thought, I was supposed to do that. You know, I did. I really had that. I was like, you know, probably, I hope you didn't see it in my face, but I thought, man, I've been working on, you know. And man, the Lord really smote my heart about, do you want her to get unsaved? Do you want her to be lost still? And I thought, oh, yeah, that's, God gives the increase. Lord, I'm telling you, when we get a hold of that,
yep,
it's meat to eat that you know not of. Father, I thank you for this time this morning, Lord. I do pray that you'd help us to gather your lesson in our heart, that we might rejoice in what you are doing. Thank you now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come to the back if you'd like a coin to our table thereafter.
Amen. Thank you. Enjoyed that. Go, yeah, let's go ahead and be dismissed.